The following is a production of Central Christian Center and Pastor Hank DeLott.
Praise the Lord. Is it okay with you if I don't get too heavy today? How many's had all the Christmas you want till next year? And you've had all the... How many'd like some more candy or pie or something, man? Everybody had about enough. I'll try not to be too hard on you today. I just want to talk to you for a few minutes, if that's okay. I want to read you Philippians chapter 3. Paul says to the Philippian church and to us, he said, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended." In other words, I haven't laid hold of it yet. I haven't accomplished everything that I'm supposed to accomplish for you yet. I hadn't done all I know I can do. I haven't arrived yet. But this one thing I do, I forget those things that are behind me, and I'm reaching forward to those things that are ahead, and I'm pressing towards that goal for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. I haven't made it yet, Lord, but I'm still trying. I'm still a work in progress. I'm still going after it. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to slow down. I'm going to push harder. I'm going to press for what you got. I love verse 12. I didn't read that one, but he says, "Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of all that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me." Paul's saying there, he's saying, you know, Lord, you saved me for a reason. You had a purpose for my life, and I'm not giving up. I'm not looking back. I'm not giving up. I'm pressing forwards because I want all that you did for me. I want to receive all that you did for me, and I want to be all that I can be for you. Holy Spirit, I ask that you just touch everyone here, me included. Touch us all, Lord. We need a fresh breath from you. So we just thank you for that right now, in Jesus' name. If you're visiting here first time or been here only a few times and you feel something that feels a little strange, just realize that's the Holy Spirit. He's trying to touch your heart. It's not an accident that you're here today. He got you here on purpose because He knows everything in your heart. He knows everything about you, and He wants to help you. He knows everything you're facing, everything you're going through, and He's there for you. He's there to help us and love us. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad, aren't you? I'm glad. Paul said, "I forget those things which are behind, and I press for what's ahead." I don't want to spend much time talking about the past. You know, I think we spend too much time meditating on our past. I think we spend too much time meditating on the mistakes we made yesterday, and, you know, I wish I could have, and I sure, if I would have done this, or if I could have done that, or I wish I hadn't have done that. And, you know, I've been noticing as I've been reading Paul the last few weeks, Paul didn't, when he said, when I forget those things that are behind, Paul wasn't talking about all the bad things that he did. How many know he did a few bad things? He killed some Christians. He did some bad things. But Paul wasn't talking about that. Whenever he's talking about forgetting the things, he's usually talking about his accomplishments. Because Paul was one of the smartest men around. He was one of the most educated men around. He was one of the... He had done more things than a lot of the other apostles had done. And what he continued to do is he continued to let past success be a hindrance for him in the future. He refused to look back at all that things and pat himself on the back. He always looked back and he said, "I was only able to do it because Jesus gave me the strength to do it. Because he enabled me to do it." I don't know where we got the theology that we're supposed to always be repenting. We're supposed to always be sad. We're supposed to always be sorry. You know, Paul knew that when he received Jesus Christ as his Lord, that all those past bad things were buried in that blood. And he wasn't going to waste any more time having a sin consciousness. He was moving on into what God had for him. And so I really don't want to talk a whole lot today. I think we spend way too much time living in the past. Huh? I mean, there's a lot of things I wish I could change. How about you? A lot of things I wish I could do different. And I don't know if I had them to do over, I probably would make the same mistakes again. But I'm not interested in looking at that. Let's look forward just a little bit. Let's focus on the future just a little bit. This is a time of year when we're all, the old year's going and the new year's coming in, and we all make all these resolutions that we never keep. And I hate resolutions. I don't even make them anymore. But we make all these promises and all these resolutions, and we don't ever keep them, and or we keep them for a week or two, but it's a time I believe where we can stop, we can look at the past year, we can focus our attention on being serious about it, being looking at our past, seeing what we've done and what we haven't done. It's a good time to just reflect. I think we all need a time. Every once in a while, I just have to stop and get serious and thoughtful and review my accomplishments. Every once in a while, I just need to stop and think, man, are you where you're supposed to be? Are you doing what you're supposed to be doing? It's a time when we can just stop and go, am I accomplishing all the things that I'm supposed to accomplish, or am I not accomplishing them? And I'm talking about being honest with yourself. Are you where you want to be? Let me ask you another question. Where would you like to be this time next year? Now's the time to start thinking about that. Is your marriage the way it's supposed to be? Where you want it to be? Is your relationships with people where you want them to be? How your job situation? Are your finances where you want them to be or where you need them to be? If we get honest about this, and I'm talking about, how many know we get so defensive? We get We want to cover up all of the faults, and we get so defensive when we see failure in ourselves. But it's a good thing to see it. It's a good thing to realize, hold it, I would imagine Paul said, I'm doing pretty good, Lord, but I'm not doing good enough. I'm doing better than I did, but I'm not doing as good as I'm going to do. A time when we examine ourselves. A time when we be honest with ourselves. Am I accomplishing anything in my life? Or am I just coasting? I've learned, noticed every year about this time, if I'm not careful, I just kind of begin to coast. Now, stay with me a second. Christmas is over. It's cold weather out. And boy, I sure be glad when spring gets here. I heard this comment two or three times today. I'll be sure be glad when spring gets here. Boy, I just need some time to get my head out of this Christmas thing. And I just need time to get my... And if I'm not careful, I'll just begin to coast. And I get to, before I know it, I'm January, February, March have passed, and I haven't accomplished anything. It's kind of like if we're not careful, we just kind of coast through life and wait for it to do something to us so we can react to it. A I'll sure be glad when it gets warm. I'll sure be glad when Easter's here. I'll sure be glad when this. And I don't know about you, but I do it. I coast through it. A few months have passed, and I haven't accomplished anything really. I did that message a couple of weeks ago. It was really good, and God really used it, and He really touched everybody that was here. He really blessed people. He used it to help people. But I wish there had been more here to hear it. But life. How many know we spend a lot of our life coasting like that? Do you know you never can get that time back? I'm talking about a life full of missed opportunities. I've learned if you don't have a plan for your life, life will have a plan for you. And too many of us, too many times, all of us probably, too many times we all just kind of drift and just kind of coast and just kind of hope something good will happen today. Hope today will be better than yesterday. And all the time, God has given us the authority to change our destiny. He's given us the power to change our future. If you don't know where you're going, you won't know when you get there. So maybe we could just take a little bit of time and begin to focus and ask ourselves the question, where am I? What am I doing? Am I doing anything that I'm supposed to be doing? You know, if you let the weights of life weight you down, you'll just stay weighted down all the time. Where am I at in the natural realm? Where am I at? My job situation, my family situation, the things that I'm taking care of every day. Where am I? You know, sometimes some of us get so busy making a living that we don't ever take time to live. Now, I'm just talking. I'm not trying to give a great message today. I'm just talking. But as I'm talking, I'm hoping somebody hears. I know everybody won't hear this, but I'm hoping that most of you will. Because you have an opportunity. You can't do anything about all the missed opportunities of yesterday. But you can do something about opportunities of today and tomorrow. Where you at? Are you where you want to be? Are you where you think you should be? In the natural physical world, is your physical shape? I mean, after the last few weeks, we all need to get in shape, don't we? Except for Nick. Nick doesn't need to. He's already in shape, man. Good to see you, buddy. He's home from the Navy here for a little bit, but we're proud of you. Proud of you. So we all could get our selves in a little better shape. But where are you? But where are you spiritually? Are you accomplishing anything for God? Are you doing anything for Him? Are you building a relationship with Him? You know, it just isn't going to be very long till every one of us, and I'm not one of these guys that get up here every Sunday and preach, Jesus is going to come back today. But you know, He is going to come back. And if He doesn't come back, I'm gonna leave here and go where He is, and that might happen first. I don't know, but there's going to come a time when I have to look Him in the eye and I have to give an account. And it isn't going to be an account of all the good things I've done. It's going to be an account of how much of the things have I done that He told me to do. Well, don't shout me down. How much of what I do is he telling me to do? I really don't like to do this inventory thing too often. Huh? Because I come up too short. I don't know about you, but I... But we have the power and the ability to change our destiny. You see, you can if you think you can. If you make up your mind to do something, you've got the ability and the power inside of you to get it done. And so it's a matter of what are we thinking? You know, maybe we just need to take a few days, weeks, whatever, and take some inventory of ourselves and think about now. You know, I always use the illustration of a fighter. If you see a fighter, a boxer, when they're boxing, now I'm not a boxer, so don't get me, you know, don't anybody want to box me after service or anything, but if your feet aren't planted solid, you'll swing and fall down. When are we going to get our feet planted solid for God? When are we going to get our feet planted solid in the kingdom? Are we going to wait till March or April? By then, we'll just be waiting for summer to get here. And when summer gets here, it'll be too hot, so we'll be waiting for fall. And when fall gets here, well, yeah, but Thanksgiving and Christmas is coming up here, so we... How many notice in the years going by faster and faster and faster? Real fast. But what are you thinking? You know, Proverbs says for me to guard my heart because out of it become the issues of my life. And the gate to the heart is my mind. What I think about and meditate on is going to go into my heart. The Proverbs also says, as you think in your heart, that's the way you will be. And as we think it, then we begin to speak it. And he also says that the power of life and death are in our tongue. Now, I'm not just trying to quote some scripture, but what I'm trying to get the point across is that your life will go in the direction of your most dominant thoughts. So what are you thinking? You ever go up to somebody, I know you never said it, but you go up to somebody and you go, what's happening?
Oh, nothing.
I asked somebody, what you thinking? They said, oh, nothing. I thought, well, why don't you think something? So I'm hoping that some of you will join me just to begin to take some inventory. You know, we might not like what we see, but it's a good thing. I'd like to see the things in me that need fixing before I get there and see them. You with me? I'd like to see the things. And here's the neat thing about God is he doesn't condemn us for those things. He doesn't condemn us for those failures. But when we realize something there, we're able to repent. Now, by repent, that just means turn and go a different direction. So if my life's going nowhere, I can make it start going somewhere. Well, we all have regrets. We've all have missed opportunities. Oh, you remember that piece of land that you could have bought, but you didn't buy it, and a few years later it was worth all this money? Oh, you remember that time in your life when you felt like you were supposed to do this in the ministry and you didn't do it, you missed that opportunity, and now you're sitting thinking, well, I've missed my opportunity to do that. We all have regrets. If I would have just did that and moved when God told me to move, if I would have just done that, my ministry would be so much powerful now. It'd be so good now. This would be happening in my life now. If I'd have just done this or if I'd have just done that, I'd be rich or I'd be happy or... You know, all this stuff out here isn't what makes you happy. Huh? You can get happy for a little bit, but you're not going to stay there. It's the joy of the Lord that'll make you happy when you get that peace on the inside. When you know you've... How many ever did something, you had something, maybe you'd put it off doing it, and you finally did it, and after you did it and got it done, you were so relieved, and it felt so good? You say, well, Hank, I never heard a message like this. Well, I'm just trying to say something that you can hear and identify with. I can't do anything about the missed opportunities that I've missed. All the things I didn't do yesterday. But I can try real hard not to miss today so that I'll have them tomorrow too. Don't let your yesterday determine your today. See, some of you sitting here, you think, well, I'm too old. I missed my chance when I was young. You know, you're never too old. How many's breathing? Somebody look at that person next to you. They didn't raise their hand. Give them some of that artificial perspiration or something there. I use this often, but I like the story of Caleb, man. Caleb, you remember Joshua and Caleb went into the promised land, and they didn't go in because the 10 spies wouldn't agree with them, and so they didn't. They wandered around the wilderness for 40 years, but when it came time to come, Joshua and Caleb were the only two out of that original bunch that went in. And they've been in the wilderness 40 years, and they've been taking cities and stuff for about 5 years. And old Caleb walks up, he's 85 years old, and he walks up and looks at this mountain. And when he looks at this mountain, he remembers that God told him when he went in with Jacob or with Caleb, when he went in with Joshua, he told him, he said, "That's your mountain." And here, Caleb's 85 years old, and he walks in and he looks and he said, "I remember that. I was 40 years old when God told me that. I'm 85 now, and I can still take that mountain because God said I could take it." You see, it's easier to do nothing than it is to do something. But the results are frustrating. And it's always easy to have an excuse why. Why you can't. Why you can't. You know, I did this a few weeks ago, and people still getting, I can't go to church. My neighbor borrowed my hose. Well, I'd go talk to them, but I got a hole in my sock. You know, any excuse will work. I was going to go to church today, but my door is painted brown. I would do that, but we always got a reason why not to do it. But what things have God told you to do that you haven't done yet? You still can do them. And the young, you younger ones, you think, well, when I get older, I'll be able to do it. No, when you get older, you won't feel like doing it. Today is the day of your salvation. Today is the day, if you're going to get anything done, you have to get it done. Today is the day you have to make a decision. I'm not going to be this way anymore. Today is the day you got to make that choice that I'm going to change some of my things. I don't want to be this way anymore. If you don't like where you are, why don't you change it? Now, I'm not talking about big earth shaking things. Every time I say something like this, I have people come and they go, "Yeah, I didn't like my job and it wasn't the job I was supposed to have, so I quit." Well, what are you doing now? Well, I'm waiting for God to bring me another job. Well, that was dumb. How are your kids eating? Well, we're just trusting God. Well, no, that don't work because you were trusting God and He gave you the job so you could buy the food so you could feed your kids, and now you quit the job because you see, we get all goofy. Get all goofy. I love Proverbs 13. It says, verse 11 says, "Wealth gained hastily will dwindle, but whoever gets it Whoever gathers little by little will increase. Now, what I see in that verse is that the quick decisions I make don't last very long. The spur of the minute things kind of dwindle away. But when I can build my life line upon line, precept upon precept, when I can build my life little by little, you see, I'm not talking about doing some great big something. What about all the little things, the little habits, the little steps? Maybe change, begin to today to change some thinking. You see, we're creatures of habit. And we get into a habit, we set a habit, and that habit, if it'll become bondage to us if it's a bad habit. What was it that somebody said? It takes 30 to 45 days to change a habit. Try to change something you're doing and see. You're in the habit of doing it. You're in the habit of being this way. You're in the habit of doing this when you get up. The habit of that. Maybe it's just changing some attitudes. Maybe it's just changing some thinking. Maybe it's just being nicer to your husband or wife. Maybe it's just being kind to your kids. When you come home from work, do they go, "Oh, watch out, Dad's home"? You know, I don't know what it is. But I'm talking about just the little things. It's all the little things in our life that we do that mount up to the big things. You don't just lose your temper. You don't just blow it. You don't just quit something. No, it's all the little things that led up to that caused you to do it. Well, you know, every one of us in here have some areas in our life that we need some help. Every one of us have some needs. Every one of us has some things, you know. And so, but we have a tendency to lay on the couch and wait for God to bring it to us. But God might want to show me how to get up and go out here and produce it. But I have learned this, that if I get my priorities right, if I get my ducks lined up, Matthew 6:33 says, if I seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, if I seek Him, His way of living, if I'm striving to do that, then He's going to add everything else I need. And folks, that's a pretty good deal. You say, "Well, I just don't believe that." Well, then you don't have to worry about it. Somebody's sitting here and you're not saved. You've never had a time in your life when you asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart and save you. You've never, by faith, received Him. And you say, "I just don't believe that." Well, you don't have to worry about it. He's not going to save you until you want Him. He's not going to come into your heart until you ask Him. Whoever that is, won't you just right now just say, "Jesus, I give You my life. I want to live it for You. Help me. I ask You to be my Lord and Savior." If you prayed that, be sure when we get finished here in just a few minutes to come down and tell me that you did that. I want to give you some stuff to help you get on your way with the Lord, and want to pray with you. And I'll be probably saying that two or three more times before you go, because that's the most important thing. But what I'm saying is, if you don't believe it, then you don't have to worry about it. "I just don't believe God blesses that way." Well, then you won't have to worry about it. You won't see it. He'll keep doing it, but you just won't see it, because you'll never admit it's Him. Well, if I seek Him first, the course of my life, if I seek Him first, by seeking Him first, I set the course of my life. When I seek Him first, I open the doors for Him to come in and do great things in my life. I open the door to receive His favor. It's just a choice. I don't have to work for any of that. It's just a choice. My work is getting up off my fanny and getting out of the lazy boy and making a choice to do something. That's the hard part. The blessing's not hard. So let me ask you again. Will you take some inventory? Will you check yourself naturally? You know, physically, if the natural things, our physical things, are important to us. Talked to somebody the other day and they said, "Oh, I just don't worry about money. I don't need money." I said, "Well, how do you pay your electric bill? I mean, when you went into the grocery store the other day, when you got up there with all your stuff, did you look at the cashier and say, 'I don't need money'? If you did, then they probably said, 'Well, then take all the stuff back and put it on the shelf.'" See, the physical stuff's important. The natural stuff's important. But I believe, and I believe the Word says, is when I line out the spiritual part of my life, the physical part goes a lot easier. Does that make any sense? So maybe doing these changes, maybe just changing some stuff that makes me more dependable. Maybe it's just changing some stuff in your life that makes you more reliable. How many's ever been dependent on somebody to do something and they didn't do it? Kind of a letdown, huh? Now don't raise your hand on this, but how many's ever been the person that didn't do it? So I don't want any of you to lie, because we all would have to raise our hand. I wonder, we're about to wrap this up now, but I just wonder what would happen if we would start this year seeking God's direction. I already heard somebody in the praise group saying it earlier. What would happen if we would begin this work, this year? If we would take the month of January just to regroup, to refocus, to seek God. In fact, that's what I've decided to do. I'm spending the month of January seeking God. I'm going to do some fasting and praying. I'm going to seek God because I want His direction in my life. And I want His direction in this church. And so officially, I'm calling this church to 30 days, to the month of January, fasting and prayer. Who'd help me with that? Who'd like to get your feet on solid rock? I'm not asking you to fast 30 days. But who thinks it might be a good idea just to go, "You know, hold it, God. I need to get some of this stuff prioritized in my life. I'm just a wandering generality out here, just going whichever way the wind blows. And I'm just chasing this and that and this and that. And I just need some stability in my life. I need some direction in my life. I need some help in my life." When we did this past summer, we did that for 30 days. And I had people asking me, saying, "Well, what's God telling you about fasting?" And I never did answer them. Because it didn't matter what God was telling me about it, but what's He telling you? We had people that fasted food. How many know it'd all be good for all of us to fast a little food? Huh? Finus has his feet up in the air back there. Have both hands and both feet. But it might, you know, I'm talking about giving up something and spending that time with God, seeking Him. Again, I know everybody won't hear this and everybody won't do it, but somebody's going to. I just wonder what would happen if we just take the time to focus and think about where our life is and where our church is and what can we do to change our lives and make it better? What can we do to make our church better? What can we do to make it when people come in the church, they feel like they've come home. They feel like there's a place they belong. What could we all individually do? That's something that can't be done from up in the front. It's got to be done through all of us. And I'm talking about thinking creatively. You know, I'm thinking about some good things, thinking about some positive things. You haven't dreamt in so long. Maybe you just want to dream again. Do I have anybody here that would dream with me for 30 days? Would you dream with me about how big God could be if we'd let Him? Would you dream with me about all the great things He could do? You know, the Bible says that He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything we can ask or think. What are you thinking?
Nothing.
Wonder who'd dream with me for a little bit. And allow the Holy Spirit to do something in us. I love John. I'm going to read you just a few scriptures and then we're done, but John 16, Jesus said this. Starting verse 12, he said, I still have many. Now Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross. He's talking to his disciples before he leaves. They've been through the Last Supper. They've washed the feet. They've done all that stuff. But he says, now I still have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. Or I still have a whole lot I need to tell you, but you just wouldn't understand it right now. But then the next verse he says, however, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into the truth. He will not speak of His own authority. He will do whatever He hears. Whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take what is of Mine and declare it to you, and all things that the Father has are Mine. He'll take those and declare them to you. Do you understand what He's saying here? He says, I got some things to say to you, but if I told you now, you wouldn't understand them. And they go, well, how are we ever going to hear it then? He says, I'm sending the Holy Spirit, and He'll tell you. He'll speak to you. That's interesting. That's interesting. Let me look at Romans real quick here. Romans 8:26 says this. Likewise, the Spirit, or the Holy Spirit, also helps in our weaknesses, for we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, He who searches the heart knows what the mind is of the Spirit, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, think about what He's saying here. He says, I want to tell you some things you need to hear, you need for life, but I can't tell you, because you wouldn't understand Him now. So I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and He's going to tell you. And He's going to tell you, He's not going to tell you anything that He thinks up. He's going to tell you everything He heard God say and everything He heard Me say. And He says, this Spirit in Romans 8, He says, this Spirit that I'm sending, said He knows your weaknesses. He knows everything in you that needs to be fixed. He knows every problem you're having. He knows every drawback. He knows every flaw. He knows all that. And He's making intercession for me. He knows what areas I need help in. He knows what's going on. It says He knows the will of God for my life. He knows what's going on. Grab a hold of that. Jeremiah 29 says, for I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. They're plans for peace well-being and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. How's he going to tell you that plan? I'm sending the Holy Spirit to tell you. He knows all the excuses. He knows all the weaknesses. He knows all the reasons why you can't. He knows all the reasons that, you know, that are, he knows all the things that are holding you back from it. But he's going to intercede for you anyway, because he knows what the will of God is, and he's going to intercede for you, and he's going to see to it that those plans will come to pass in your life. Church, I don't know if you understand that, what a good thing we got. I don't have to know a lot. I just have to know who does. You ever wonder what the will of God for your life was? Quit wondering what it is and live today. And do what he shows you to do today. And when you do what he shows you to do today, there'll be something else for you to do tomorrow. And then the next day there'll be something else. And as you learn to follow that voice, and as you learn to hear him, all of a sudden you'll look back one day and you go, man, I've been doing the will of God. We make this so hard, so complicated. As I close here, let me ask you this. What would happen, what do you think would happen in this church if we'd begin right now, today? We get a day or two, day ahead on it. First until Tuesday. We get a day ahead here. What if right now we started thinking about camp this year? What if we started organizing our thoughts and listening to the Holy Spirit about what ideas he had for camp this year for our kids? What if we started right now thinking and meditating and seeking God and asking him about our VBS? What might he be able to do? I wonder what would happen if we'd begin to say, man, you know, now God, we're seeking your direction for the Joyful Hearts Conference this summer. God, we need your will. We need what you have for us. We don't want to settle for anything less. God, what do you want us to do for Roundup this year? Roundup? That's a long time. God, what new things do you have for us to do this year? God, I wonder what would happen if we'd start seeking him first now. I wonder what would happen. You know, we had something unique happen last month. What's the name of it? 10th Avenue? 10th Avenue North? Got it right. I can't believe that. I mean, they call us up a month before they're going to come and ask us if they can come. I thought, what a tremendous door. I see people all over. Saw a man the other day in Kirkland's. And he said, man, I was at your church the other night. And I said, you are? He said, yeah. I said, I saw that 10th Avenue North. I said, boy, that was good. God really touched me. That's something that just happened. I believe it happened because we were asking him in July, God, what do you want us to do? Well, do we want him just to do one thing, or do we want him to do exceedingly abundantly above anything we can ask or think? Wonder what would happen. I'm challenging. I'm hoping somebody will take me up on the challenge. I'm just saying, Lord, would you bless me indeed? Would you bless me so much that I can be a blessing to everybody I see? God, would you enlarge my territory? Would you give me more opportunity? Would you show us how to reach more people? Would you show us how to do it, Lord? Will you keep your hand on me, because I need your presence, Father? I need your help. I need your presence. I need it continually. And keep me from evil. Keep me from doing the things I know I shouldn't do. But Lord, also keep me from the evil one. I know there's going to be troubles, there's going to be problems because we have an evil one and he's out to get us all the time. But also know we have a Holy Spirit that can show us those things before they happen. And you can be ready for them. Yeah, you still have to go through some stuff. But it's a whole lot better when you know you're going to come out on the other side. Well, see, wonder what would happen if we just say, God, what could I do to help this happen? What's my part, God? What could I do? There's some, you know, usually when you preach this kind of thing, the people that are doing everything, they just want to do more. But there's something for every one of us to do. Somebody's going to say, Lord, I want to be the biggest giver this year. Oh, there you go, asking about money. We're not going to take an offering. Keep your money in your pocket. See, we got the wrong idea about giving. When you give, how much of it belongs to God? Huh? No, well, how much do you have to give back to Him, though? A tenth. Well, now, I'm not the sharpest pencil in the rack here, but if I have $100 and I give Him 10 of it, that leaves me 90. See, we look at giving like, how much am I losing instead of how much am I getting? But what if you got $100 now and your tithe is 10? What if next week you had $10,000? Who would have to give 1,000? Yeah, I know, but how much would you have left? 9,000. Is 9,000 better than 900? Is anybody awake in here? I already told you I wasn't going to take an offering. Don't get nervous. What am I talking about? I'm talking about reaching out and pressing yourself and saying, God, I want to be more for you. I want to accomplish more for you. I want to be more. That's something that starts on the inside. Huh? Being more doesn't happen out here. Being more happens in here. And when it happens in here, then it explodes out here. Well, I shouldn't have got on giving. That one didn't go over very good. Lord, find me some area of service in the church. Find me something I can do. You know, you might be the one that just smiles and shakes a hand when somebody walks in the door, but that smile might be what that person was needing to get them through a crisis. Well, what am I saying? I'm saying, well, as for me, I'm starting this year off, I'm going to seek God. I don't know what... I don't know that I'm going to get any great revelation. I don't know that the sky is going to split and lightning's going to come down and split my pulpit or anything like that. I doubt if any of that happens. But I want something from God. I want Him to breathe on me. See, some of you think I'm just an old fogey and I'm about done, but you know, I'm gonna kick Him one time on the way out, Kenny. I'm just going to stomp His head one time on the way out. I hope when it's my time to go, I'm standing up here. And if I'm standing up here and I just fall down, first thing, make sure I'm really dead. But just scoop me over. Scoop me over and give an invitation. See, what can you do? You know, what can I do? I'm just talking about locating yourself. Starting a year fresh. Getting your footing before you get started here. If nothing else, your year will go a lot better. Your mind will be a lot clearer. You might not be a Billy Graham or do something great spectacular, but the little things you do might be pretty spectacular to somebody. I'm not trying to say, let's believe to be something we're not. I said, no, let's just believe to be everything we are. Because you're exactly like God made you. Well, now you've messed it up a little bit along the trip, but He's made you this way, and He's got good things for you. So locate yourself. Locate yourself. Everybody bow your head. How many would say, you know, I think that might be a good idea, Hank. I'm gonna attempt to do that. I'm going to spend January, and I'm going to seek God, and I'm just going to see what He has to say for me. Will you seek Him with me? Will you join me and just believe Him for direction for our lives and our church's lives? Hands all over. How many of you in here, if you died right now, you'd go to heaven? You know you've asked Jesus into your heart and you know you're saved. Praise God. Hands all over. I wonder in here who doesn't know. If you're not for sure, raise your hand and put it right back down. Okay, who else? Who else? Thank you, sir. Would you like to know? Would you like to know? I'm going to say a prayer right now. And if you don't know for sure if you're saved, if you'll say this prayer and mean it, something will happen in your heart. And what I want you to do is after you pray this prayer, after we even dismiss, I want you to come down and tell me you prayed that prayer, because I want to pray for you again. And I want to give you some information, a little thing, a little book we got here to help you get on your way with the Lord, reading the Bible and stuff. But if you don't know for sure, the devil's just lying to you. He's just tricking you. He's just trying to hold you back. I want everybody in here to say this prayer with me. And everybody say it out loud. So if you're saying it for the first time, you won't be embarrassed. Father, I want to be saved. Jesus, you died on the cross for me. I ask you to save me. I give you my life. I want to live it for you, but I don't really know how. So I'm asking you for your help. I just want a real relationship with you, Lord. I want a real relationship with you, Lord. Thank you for saving me right now. Everybody stand. I'm gonna dismiss you here, but if you need to come for anything, they'll be singing a song here. If you need to come for anything, we got some folks that'll be here happy to pray with you. Maybe you prayed this prayer or you want to, and I want to pray with you if that's you. But if you need to come, you come. But I want to thank all of you for being here today. I speak God's blessings into your life. I believe Him to do big things in your life this year. I believe this is going to be one of the best years you've ever had, because God's going to make it that way. And know that I love you. If you're a first-timer, hope you'll come back again. Hope you'll let me be your pastor. Hey, I love you all. Thank you for being here today. If you need to come for prayer for anything, you come. We'll be happy to pray for you. Love you.